Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host with ConsciousBusinessTelesummit.com. Welcome, everyone. This is our connection and community time.
Hi, Adela. It's Nancy B. And Brian from north of Philadelphia is also here.
Is that Brian Melito?
Yes. Hi, Adela.
Welcome, Brian. It's great to hear you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Nancy B. serving as moderator. Thank you very much, darling.
I'm glad you're here. It's not necessarily a comfortable role.
Well, you were doing gloriously from what I heard.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Now it's your turn.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone who would like to check in, let us know you're here. I know I showed up early.
Hi.
Yeah, I did. Hi, who's that?
Mary from Melbourne.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Mary from Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, Mary from Melbourne, Australia. Thank you, darling. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Adela.
You're welcome. It's great.
This is revolutionizing my life.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's coming at such a crucial time of my life. I thank God for it.
Wonderful. You know, there's something to timing when we're ready for something, Mary, so kudos to you for being ready. You know, you're ready, and so the opportunity has come for you to get what it is that you need next. Good for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else like to check in? We do have an international, we're sporting an international crowd, as you can see. It's great to have people from all over the world with, you know, this wonderful intention of conscious business and mastering the inner game. So welcome, everyone. Who would like to say hello?
Paris from Scranton.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Paris.
Paris?
Paris.
Paris.
Paris. Like Aristotle.
Oh, like Aris, like Aristotle. Thank you. Welcome, Aris. I'm sorry, Aris. Someone has a really noisy background, so if you can press *7, that would be wonderful, so the rest of us can hear what Aris is trying to check in about. All right. You know what I'm going to do, Aris? I'm going to go on Q&A, and what I'd like you to do is press *7. So, Aris, you're checking in. Press *7, and then we can hear you.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I represent the physical man who loves young women. That's my representation. Very physical. Very physical, yet very loving, very, very lovable.
Uh-huh.
Yes, me.
Okay, cool. Yes. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey.
No.
Absolutely. Thank you, Aris, for checking in.
Okay.
All right, darling.
I love you, Adela. Thank you.
Okay, darling.
Presenting these things in connection to Sephra. I love her and her connections.
Wonderful. It's great to have you here.
Terrific. I love being here.
Thank you. Who else would like to check in? Just press *7 and let us know that you're here, because we had a very noisy line.
Suze is here.
Hello, Suze. Welcome, dear.
Hello. Hi again, Adela. I love you, too.
Yeah, I love you, too, darling. We're having such a fantastic time. We really are. Yeah. Thank you, Suze.
You.
And we're going to have a rockin' call today, because my buddy and colleague, Madison Gray, really rocks. No doubt about that. And it's a great conversation, and it's so interesting because it's about the same conversation we were having this morning. So we experienced true value this morning on our Conscious Energy Shifts call, and so now we're going to bring it into the world and our businesses. So I'm very excited to have her. Thank you, Suze.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Who'd like to check in next? *7.
Well, if there's no one checking in, I'd like to share something funny. Like in mediation, I often, or you know, you hear clients say, "What you mean? You mean we can actually do whatever we want?" And I was thinking of that this morning, and I wrote it in as a comment to Britt's wonderful poem that she put up on Energy Cafe Live. Just that I have this chunk down to just being, not being who I am. Not, you know, like it's like I've gone through all these different phases, you know, and now it's just chunked down to just being, and I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, yeah, so easy, right? It just gets simpler and simpler as we just start sloughing off all the extra stuff. It just gets more and more simple. Thank you, sis. And I do want to check in with our, I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No. Go
okay,
ahead.
Cool. I just wanted to check in with our webcast lovelies, Madeline from Camberley in the UK. Love your calls. They're amazing. Thank you, Madeline. And hopefully my UK friends will correct me if I'm saying that wrong. Janice from Rush Valley, Utah. Hi, light, love, and laughter be with us all. Thank you, Janice, for bringing that those great vibe and energies with you. Alicia from Anaheim, our friend, saying yes to another growth opportunity. Thank you so much, Alicia, for being with us here. Wonderful. Steve from Modesto, California. Love your energy so much, Adela. Thank you for blessing us as you have. Oh, yeah, we're blessing one another, Steve. Thank you so much because, you know, we all contribute to the intention of these calls, and the fact that they are so amazing is because of each one of you that brings these powerful intentions to the call and bring your brilliant being present. So thank you so much, Steve. Sigrid, world citizen, welcome, my friend. Hi, Adela. Hi, Sue. Love to hear you. Love to hear that there are more from our morning tribe. Yeah, our morning tribe is populating the afternoon calls. Yeah, we can't seem to get enough of one another. It's wonderful. Sylvain from Quebec, Canada, welcome. It's great to have you here. Anybody else on the bridge line? Star 7, want to say hello.
Hey, it's Tanya.
Hey.
Tanya.
Yay.
Tanya, great to hear you, darling.
Oh, it's great to be here. I'm just loving this energy. The flow is awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Hello, it's Joanne.
It's Rosemary.
Hello, Joanne.
Hello.
Joanne from the Atlanta, Georgia area, and Rosemary from the UK. Welcome both.
Hi.
Great to have you here.
This is Tina from New York City.
Who's from New York City?
Tina.
Tina. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
Everything has been amazing. I missed yesterday, but it's been extraordinary, and I can't wait to join the morning group, and I'm so happy.
Well, we can't wait till you join the morning group. It's been really fantastic. We've got really steadily between 70 to 90, depending on the day, and there's over, I think over like 1,100 on the list now that maybe not everybody listens to the replays because you know how that goes, but there's a good number of us that are really up for this. So, Tina, we can't wait till you join us in the morning. Welcome, darling.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
how do I check out, honey? Do I push
star 7? Star 6 again.
Oh, star 6.
Star 6, yeah. And pretty soon I'm going to mute the line. So you won't have to worry about any of that. Renee is checking in on the webcast, back again from Glorious Desert Mountains in Arizona. Welcome, Renee. And Olga from Ottawa, hi there. And Christine in France, just to say hello, Adela, and thank you. So glad I could make it for this call, a proud re-engineer boundless being. Oh, yeah. Yeehaw. Welcome home, babe. That's what I say. Great. It's great to have you all here. Anybody else want to say hello on the bridge line? We've still got a few more minutes before we get started. Star 7 unmutes the line.
Hi, it's Kirsten from Las Vegas. I want to thank you, Adela.
Thank you, Kirsten.
This is great stuff. Keep it up.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, the thing when you're lined up with your essence is that you can't not do it. You know, right?
Yeah,
and we're going to talk about that today. Today is such a priceless conversation. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have Madison Gray with us. You know, a lot of times we get caught up, and I know there's a lot of these telesummits, and there are these best-selling authors and experts and, you know, people that have reached, you know, millions and all this other kind of stuff, but there are some really quiet experts that are doing phenomenal transformative work that you may not have heard of. And I know that part of my work is to bring those people out so that
you can really share in their brilliance. And this woman is brilliant. So we'll share a little bit about that on this call. So you'll get to see why I know she's brilliant. So great.
That's awesome.
It's great to have you here, Kirsten. Anyone else want to check in? Say hello, star 7.
Sophia?
Hello, Sophia. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's so good to hear the familiar voices as each one of us keeps coming back every day. You know, we're actually building momentum here. We're building energy every time we give our attention to something that is really precious to us, like this conscious business idea, this idea that we can be in the world doing our work and being totally aligned, that our values are totally aligned with the way that we do business, and that we can be the open, brilliant beings that we are. So every time that you come on these calls or listen to the replays, you are adding to the increase, as my beautiful buddy Julie Jordan Scott says, another extraordinary coach out in California. So who else would like to check in? We've got one or two more check-ins.
Hi, Adela. This is Alicia from Columbus, Georgia.
Hello, Alicia. Great to have you here.
Great to be here again. Thank you. And this morning again was awesome.
Wonderful. It's so great to have you all here. Thank you so much, Alicia, for checking in. Anybody else want to check in before we get started? All righty. So I'm going to switch us over to Madison. Are you here?
I'm here.
All right. So I'm going to switch us over to lecture mode. Thank you very much, everyone. And we're going to start off with our connection. So take a nice deep breath. And exhale. And if you've been seated all day, this is really good to do standing. Allow your knees just to soften slightly. Take another nice deep breath. And exhale, allow your shoulders to relax. And just feel your being present, open, fluid, expanded, and super connected to yourself and all the aspects of you, especially the expanded, brilliant aspects of you that are so here and ready to be explored. And feel your super connection to one another, those of us that are on this adventure of conscious business and conscious tribe. And feel your connection to all that is, however you may call it, knowing that you're sourced in every moment and you're a being of immense brilliance and have an amazing gift in your being that longs to be shared, longs to be known. And if you're on these conscious business telesummits, you are definitely here to serve the value that you are to the world. Take another nice deep breath. And exhale. And just notice how this value, how this being that you are in the world is so ready right now. And there's something on this call with Madison Gray and Adela Rubio that is for you right now. So try not to multitask. It's only an hour. If anything that you're going to do, walk around. Move your body around as you're listening to these ideas. If you've got a pen or pad, you can capture some thoughts. But bring your awareness and your being here, because there's something for you here to know right now. Wonderful. So you have reached the Conscious Business Telesummit. And this is the fifth call in our series. And I am more than excited for
for our guest today. The topic of our call is value and the money myth, and this is something that so many of us have struggled with, and I count myself among them. And I had major shifts in working with Madison Gray. I'm very, very honored to have her in our program. Madison is the founder and president of Greystone Guides. She's a professional business and leadership coach, coaching consultant, coach trainer, and speaker. She's completed 4-year coaching leadership and high performance training curriculum and is certified by the International Association of Coaching. And since 1997, Madison has been coaching teams and individuals and consulting in organizations in the areas of leadership, communication, teamwork, and high performance. Madison is continually exploring the art and science of human performance and high-value coaching. As a professionally certified business coach, Madison has helped thousands of people have extraordinary lives and businesses. She's fascinated by the gap between low performers and high performers and what it takes for people to move from mediocre to masterful in their chosen endeavors. She maintains a successful one-on-one group coaching practice, leads live seminars in a variety of related areas, and speaks frequently and passionately about coaching and the emergence of people. Welcome, Madison.
Hi, Adela. Thanks.
And I know, but Madison was in my first series, and when I invited her in this series, I'm like, Madison, you've got to give me more than, you know, one sentence about you for your introduction. She was like, oh, okay. Oh, that tells you everything about Madison. Anyway, thank you, Madison, for being here. This is such a juicy topic around value and the money myth. It's one of those areas that we all struggle with so much. So what are some of the, I know that in your description, and let's see if we want to start here, what are some of the areas that people have, these misperceptions that people have about money and value?
Okay, so we'll just go for it right out of the gate, Adela. That's great. The big issue is that most people have value and money collapse as if they're one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're two very, very different things. And so if we can't separate them, then we can't really examine either of them for what they're really about. And so people get caught up in things like trying to get paid what they're worth, trying to get their value, making sure the client gets the value, and it's all related to money, so that all gets really kind of mixed up and collapsed and really confusing for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the start of the problem.
So when you're talking about value, I know that this is an area that, oh my gosh, it can be so troublesome. I know that when I first started out coaching, it was like, you know, for me to charge $75 was like, oh my gosh, are people going to pay me? $75 sounded like so much money at the time. How is it that you get your value?
You get your value by knowing your value to others. It's the only way to get your value or to be able to start approaching that conversation. So you have to really be able to look at what's my value to the people that I'm working with. What value do they create out of having worked with me?
Mm-hmm.
What's the value to them? That's where you have to start. You can't start with you. You have to start with them.
So it's
what
not even...
Go ahead.
No, so it's not even about... Because I know that for me, at one time, that so what I'm hearing is that the focus is in the wrong place, number one. If you're thinking of value as like, okay, what's the value that I bring in terms of how am I valuable, that's the wrong focus right off the bat.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you have to get the information from outside of yourself about what's your value to other people and your work,
mm-hmm.
and then bring that back and start to get a real clear picture of how valuable you really are. I think we struggle with it because we can't see our own value except reflected or expressed in other people.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not looking out there, then it's difficult to know. Yeah, what's my value? Is it $75 an hour? Is it $3,000? What's my value? There's no way to know.
So
unless
how do you...
looking out there.
Mm-hmm. So let's... I know we've got lots of folks who are kind of in the beginning with their businesses, with their practices, and they may not have a lot of people to go out there to get their sense of value. How can they start doing that?
Well, you can do that even with people that you've worked with that haven't necessarily paid you or been on the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter. Say you were a massage therapist, and then you are changing over, and you're going to be a coach. The value that you bring doesn't have a whole bunch to do with the vehicle that you drive there in. So your value isn't about your value as a massage therapist or your value as a coach. It's about your value as a human being. What do you contribute to other human beings as a human being? So it doesn't really matter if you're in the beginning, as long as you're an adult and you've been contributing in the world in some way recently.
Which I'm sure we all have. So that's wonderful. So we're actually disconnecting. This is really interesting because I thought I heard something different a little earlier. So this is cool. So it's not even about the value that you're delivering. Like, let's say if you're starting off, you don't even have to worry about the value that you're delivering to your clients. You can hone in on what the value is that you deliver just as a human being in the world, which we can definitely hone in on things that are valuable just in our relationships and how we go around in the world.
Sure, or even if you want to keep it on the business channel a little bit, even in a volunteer situation or something you're doing like that, where you're not talking about money. I'll give you an example. I have a client who just interesting backstory. He was a graphic designer and he was not happy, and now he does aerial photography. It's his dream, right? He rides around in airplanes and takes pictures, and he's living his dream. And he gets paid for that, and he can't believe he gets paid for that. But when we started to really look at his value, one of the projects he chose is he volunteers in this group that reconditions, B-52 bombers or something. And then they take them to these different air shows and show them to people, right? People get to tour them, and people pay to tour these B-52 bombers, and the money that they pay, I don't know, it's $10 a person or something, goes towards veterans' issues, towards, you know, people who've served in the military. So I asked him, when you guys take this B-52 bomber around the country, what's the revenue, right? So he's volunteered, he's put together, back together this B-52 bomber, and then they take it around. And it was something like a crazy amount of money, like $200,000 a weekend or something. I'm making it up. I don't know. It was a lot of money. So this is... a large amount of money that gets put back into the community and towards people who need it. So what's the value of his contribution to that project? We could argue it's like $200,000 or something, right?
Right.
And this is just on his volunteer project. And he looked at that and he's like, I never looked at it that way. But he's an integral part of this volunteer project. And they're raising tons of money for stuff for people who need it. So to start to begin to look at what's the value outside of myself for what I'm contributing to.
That's mind-blowing.
It is.
Yeah, I just had to pause there for a moment. Because that's just
and
one.
I have to tell you, I don't know if my numbers are right, but when he said the number about how much money they raised with this B-52 bomber, it was over $1 million a year that they get in revenue from there.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, there's more than him on it, but at the same time, that's a huge amount of value that he's contributing to his community.
Yeah, and I'll bet you that he feels extraordinary in doing that project. And also, you were mentioning that now he's doing aerial photography and he's getting paid for something that he loves doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the things, too, that we do is that we connect money as the end result of something, as the object, when it's actually the consequence of something.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Money is just the consequence of your value into your community, but we tend to try to put it first or have it collapse. We don't have it separated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's gotten all jumbled together, and we've also been trained, you know, through all of the systems that, you know, in order to have the things that are of value, you have to have money. So we're blowing this theory out of the water completely here.
Well, and I do think you have to have money. I just think it's not the first thing you go for.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is that to the exclusion of everything else, I know that that's
right.
Been part of the business paradigm that those of us that are on this call, we're like saying no to that. We're like, no, it does matter. It does matter. The money, how it comes to us, does matter. And so this is an important distinction to know that money is the consequence of the value, and it's not the other way around.
Right.
Yeah. Wonderful. So this thing about, there was something that you said a little bit earlier that I think also points around this value and money thing. You were talking about, in your bio, about the emergence of people. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I don't know exactly what I mean by that. Like, who wrote that thing?
Well, I think you do, because I'm hearing it in this conversation with value and money.
Yeah, so to go with that conversation, you said something about it in the check-in, is you really kind of have to find your brilliance. You do have to look for, what am I here to do? What am I really here to do? How am I here to contribute to other human beings? And I don't mean what are you passionate about? I don't mean what are you good at? I don't mean, you know, where are your knowledge, skills, and abilities? I mean, what's your brilliance? What's the thing that you do better or different than anyone else on the planet? And when you find that, then you automatically can create more value for people. I think that's what you're asking me about.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know that that's your area. Your area is brilliance. And we can talk about our conversation around brilliance and how that came up. I'd love to, you know, to share that too. But can you speak a little bit more? You're just saying a little bit. You're really teasing everybody on this call here with this brilliance concept. Because and you are a tease. I know that's true about you.
Thank you.
This thing about brilliance, because we're used to relying on our skills, our abilities, our gifts, but what you're saying here with brilliance is that this is your extraordinary stroke, what no one can do like you.
Right.
So how do we find that?
That's the $64,000 question. It really is. I can give you a few examples of how you know when you're in it.
Okay.
Or what to look for, but how do we find it? You know, the simple answer is you need some
need some support around it. You need a really great coach or somebody to help you explore it. But here's how you know when you're getting close or when you're around it. A couple of simple things, like you've heard before, it's when you're doing it, you lose not only complete track of time, but you disappear. Like, you're just not there. Right?
Yeah.
The other way you know, and this is a little bit more concrete, is it's the thing that you do that everyone is amazed by, but you think is nothing. And that's the big paradox, is it doesn't look to us like it's worth anything because it's totally easy. So I'll say it again. It's the thing that you do that people are completely amazed by, but to you seems like nothing. We have this conditioning that, you know, for it to be of value, it must be hard or complex or something like that. But the truth is, it's the thing that is so simple and so easy for you, it just comes so naturally that you yourself assign no value to it.
And do you think that things like that have, I've got this little saying that, you know, your brilliance, there's breadcrumbs throughout your life, you know, that there's been signs of it in your life.
Absolutely. You just haven't given it any value because it's so easy, right? We're not trained that way. We're not trained to go, oh, that was easy. That must be worth a lot. We're trained the other way. Well, I have to work hard and struggle and make a lot of effort, and then that must be worth a lot.
And so then those things that we're expending a lot of energy and that actually seem to be a lot of work can probably give us an idea of that we're on the wrong path in terms of our brilliance anyway.
Yeah, definitely probably not your brilliance.
Yeah.
The other question you can ask yourself about finding your brilliance is, what's the one thing that you do, I don't know if do is the right word, but what's the one thing that you do that if somebody came to you and said, no, let me rephrase that. What's the one thing that you do that if it was taken away, you would not want to go on? And so I'll tell you what mine is so you can kind of get around this. That takes a little work to get at, so you got to kind of work through that question. But mine is, one of my brilliance is believing in people. I just believe in people. I don't care what they say they want or what they're trying to do. I believe in them. And I've done this since the time I was a kid, and I didn't get that it was anything special. In fact, when I first was able to put words to it, I thought, well, everybody believes in people. Everybody believes in everybody else. And my coaches were like, no, they don't. And I was a little bit devastated when I first realized that people don't believe in people. And then how I really was able to narrow in on that one was related to my son. And what's the one thing that if I couldn't do it for him, I wouldn't want to go on? And that's believe in him. If I could not believe in him, I wouldn't want to be here.
Yeah. Ooh, this conversation is heating up, people. There are all kinds of things coming through on the webcast. This is wonderful. It's great. Yeah, and so when you find yourself polarized around something, just realize that there's potential there, and it's a great opening for exploration. And so, folks, really do submit your questions and whatever's coming up for you, because this will make our time together really juicy for you and for all of us. So we'll get to some of those questions in a little bit. I just wanted to get to a couple of so this statement, this thing, we were talking about this
because we've had conversations, you know, on and off about all of this stuff, because this is one of these areas that for me has been a, should we go into that? Anyway, first let's go into this. So you've said to me before, you'll never get paid what you're worth. So if you'll never get paid what you're worth, what's next? I mean, how do you wrap your head around that?
I'll talk about that. That's where we're stuck. I really think that's what gets us stuck in this whole value and money conversation, is that we're going around trying to get paid what we're worth. And I really believe that it's impossible to actually get paid what you're worth. You can only get paid what you're happy to get paid, but you can never get paid what you're worth, especially if you're bringing your brilliance to the world. Think about it. How much is that worth? It's worth way more than you could ever ask for. And I think that's where people get stuck, is we're inadvertently trying to get paid what we're worth for coaching. But if you're a really good coach, then the value that you're creating for the client will always completely blow out of the water what they paid for it. And it should.
Yeah, you know what it's bringing to mind? I know I've talked to you, I've ranted to you about this. And it is about this trying to, it almost feels like trying to fill this chasm that cannot possibly be filled. Because I see a lot of these systems out there. I've been to a few of these conferences myself. You know, the Become a $1 Million Coach Blueprint. Like those kind of systems that make it all, and there's nothing wrong with money. Listen, this is, we love money. Madison and I love money. We're both making good money, right, Madison?
I make a lot of money, yes.
Yeah, but I think that there's something here in this shift, because if you think about it, if your focus is money, 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 there's this sense of lack or need or this, and it's this paradoxical situation, because in reality you're looking and you're saying, well, I am not making a lot of money. And I know that there are people on this call that are legitimately saying, well, you know what, Adela, I'm not making a lot of money. As a matter of fact, I'm really in trouble, you know. Mm-hmm. So what is it, what do I do now? So how do people bridge this gap when they're not at that place where they're feel, perhaps they're not in their brilliance. You know, perhaps they're not in their brilliance. Perhaps, you know, they're not working with a coach that can facilitate that for them. They're not in a situation there where they can afford a coach, you know, to work with them on their brilliance. How can they bridge this gap between feeling this need, this desperation to, you know, they've got to support themselves. They've got to pay, you know, the house, the utility bills, everything else. How do you bridge that? How do you go beyond this, like going for the money when you need the money, and instead being the value?
Yeah, so this, the simple but not easy answer is you get your attention off yourself and on the client or on the prospect. So in life and selling, sometimes we get off track and we think that what we have to offer and what we're doing is about us. And the truth of the matter is it's not about us. It's about them, especially in selling, especially in acquiring clients. It has to be about them, about what they want, about what value they're looking for. And if you can provide that, if you can help them get what they want, if you can identify what they're willing to exchange value for and offer that, which, you know, often the exchange of value is value for money, our main exchange of value. But money is just the currency of value. It doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, and what I'm hearing, too, is that it has to be, in order for the money exchange to work, it has to be what the client values. I think often that one of the things that happens, we think, all right, I'm going to set up shop.
I'm really good at this, and okay, this is what I'm going to put out, right? We may think, whatever, somebody told us, or we think, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to put out. And often, we're putting something out where there isn't a need, where there isn't a value proposition for people that they really need, that they really want that now. Because that's the thing, if you think about yourself, normally we don't go around just, you know, throwing our cash around, right? We're putting our cash, we're investing it in things that are of value to us, right?
Yeah, things that take away our pain.
Right.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter, again, if you're a coach or a psychotherapist or a massage therapist, people come to us, service providers, almost exclusively because they're in some kind of pain, and they want out. And the most value we can provide to them is to talk to them about what is their pain. I wouldn't ask them that, but, you know, figure out what they're in pain about and what's the solution that I have that can help them with that. And when they know that you know that, then they'll give you their money.
Yeah, it sounds so simple, but it does sound so simple, and it is that simple, but actually getting to that in your own business, finding out, you know, who are the people that you can deliver this value to, what is it that they're needing, that's some of, like, the footwork of, you know, creating a practice that works for you. And I think that one of the points, I think, in the beginning that can really get us on that road is delivering the value regardless, delivering the value without having, like, your eye on the prize in terms of the money as the return. If you really put your energy into the delivery of whatever it is that you're offering people, the energy into that, like you were saying earlier, like into your clients, I think that's when it starts shifting, Madison.
I think you're right. If you put value first, now money has to be part of the picture,
yeah.
Of course. You have to be willing to exchange value. And like I said, almost always their contribution for your value is money. But if we put the money first, it's really not comfortable. But the value first, then it can be more comfortable, and also not to really worry about it. At the same time, you have to know what your value is. You have to know that, okay, I worked with these three people, and out of my work with these three people, they created this, and this is what it was worth to them. Now, you probably didn't get paid anything near the amount that was worth to them. And that's where it gets a little bit tricky. The ego comes in. You know, you want to get paid what you're worth. It's impossible to do that, really. Hopefully, it's impossible. And you know, it just gets kind of crazy out there unless you keep your eye on the value that people are able to create out of working with you.
Yeah,
you have a story about that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I have a story about that, but you've got something that you can share too that you asked me if it was okay to actually share on the call about not possibly getting paid what you're worth in a coaching session that I did with you. When was it? December 2008.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want me to tell the story?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so here's the story. I was Adela had just done a teleseminar series of mine, and I had another product coming up. I had a retreat coming up, and I wanted to talk to her about possibly coming to my retreat. And I called her up one day, and she was just in the dumps. I don't remember much about what she said, except she said to me, "I think I have to get a job." And I didn't know Adela well enough. That well, but I knew her well enough to know that a job was going to kill her, right? So I said,
wait a minute. You called me and you said, "So how's everything?" And I was like, okay. It started like that.
You said, "I think I have to get a job."
Yeah.
So I asked if I could coach her in that moment. And in that moment, we didn't have a coaching relationship. I wasn't her coach. I had no expectation of being compensated for that. It was just one colleague helping another colleague in the moment when they needed something. So we talked, I don't know, about an hour or so, and out of that conversation came a project. Am I on track so far, Adela?
You're on track. I had done a training, but I was having, so let me put the, I had done a training with my fabulous mentor, Ellen Britt, and I had had a drama year because my dad got really ill and I was one of the caretakers, but I was having trouble. I was scared, you know what, to start calling speakers. For my first telesummit, as a matter of fact, I was wrapping my head around getting started implementing what I had learned in Ellen's class. And that's the point at which I had this conversation with you, where I thought I was going to have to get a job, and I was close to tears. Yeah.
Yeah, so out of that conversation, she was able to move forward and get her first project going. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And she earned a certain amount of money in that project. I don't know if she wants to share that with you.
$18,000.
Big amount of $18,000 she earned in that first project. Now, here's the thing. I called her up later and said, I just have to know because I know I need to track value. I don't care so much about the money, but I need to track value. So I did call Adela up and say, is it accurate to say that that was an $18,000 conversation? And her answer was,
yes.
Yes. Okay, now look, I could never have gotten paid what that conversation was worth, nor would I think that I could get paid what that conversation was worth. But I don't really care about that because I know what the value was. And this is my point about getting paid what you're worth. It's impossible. I could have never gotten paid $18,000 for that conversation. It just wasn't going to happen. But was it worth $18,000? Yep. And plus, if you extrapolate that, whatever else Adele has done on that path that she was able to get on as a result of that conversation.
Yeah, and it has continued to ripple for me. I actually wanted to share a little bit of what's been happening in this telesummit. Actually, because I've had successful telesummits so far, and it's been an extraordinary adventure for me. And there's a specific model that I learned from my mentor, Ellen Britt, and I've actually, the last telesummit, I started playing around with the model and kind of questioning certain things and saying, you know what, I think I want to do it like this, and I think I want to change this. And I'm very big on, I'm not afraid to experiment or toss myself off a cliff. I wasn't always this way, I'll tell you that. But this is one of the things that happens when I think you're in your brilliance. It is that you don't think otherwise. It's like, yeah, of course, the cliff's there. Of course I'm jumping. You know, you just go. And in this telesummit, you know, there's a certain model for it, and you have to have a certain list size to participate is one of the criteria. And then, you know, there's a number of things that need to be in place. And so when I was doing this telesummit, I decided to play and explore some more. And so I got folks on that may not have had, you know, an extraordinary list, or they may not have had, you know, all of their game together in terms of products. And some of you already are noticing this because not everybody is having a product necessarily this time around, you'll notice. And there was just something for me that said, you know, yes, because these people have this topic that I really, really want, and I really like them, and I want to have them. And what's interesting is that the money is different this time around. It's still good. It's still great. But what's happened to me is actually far more valuable. What has occurred, the connections, in terms of the quality of connections that I'm having on the calls, is extraordinary, because I really felt passionately about this topic of the inner game because it's been my own. It's been my own adventure for a good number of years, and I know that for me it really kept me, it kept me in a stranglehold for a really long time, and it was me. It was this inner game that's me that kept me. And a lot of times you may not even be aware of it, but I'll tell you, if everything that's coming out of your mouth is negative, you can bet there's room for you to play in the inner game. If everything that you see around you is just complain, 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 oh, this won't work, that won't work, just know that's a signpost. It's your inner game. It's this whole thing around value that can really just, if you just shift it, it's almost like if you move to the side a little bit, you can see it. And what's happened for me is extraordinary in this telesummit in terms of not only the quality of my connections which with my community, which to me is essential, but the opportunities that are coming my way are like blowing me out of the water. I mean, I think I'm speaking in like 4 telesummits in less than 2 months. And not only that, I've decided I want to do public speaking because I do a lot of speaking on the phone. And so now I'm actually getting opportunities and invitations to do that. And some of the opportunities that I'm getting are like blowing me away. I'm like, you know, I'm terrified too. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, that's what we're doing, you know. And so what the example here is that there was a shift for me in this series about being primarily, and I like to think that, you know, I delivered value and content before, but there was just something to me right when I was doing this series that said, Adele, you got to go for the gusto with the value completely, and even if people don't have everything lined up, it still felt like a yes. And Madison, I'm like on a high every single day. It's like it's crazy.
And we can hear that when you on your calls, and your results indicate that.
Yeah.
All the people you have on the calls, everybody who's showing up every morning. Yeah. The bottom line is you can see that works by the results.
Yeah, and the point is this. Sometimes the money's not going to come directly from the value in that moment. You know, I'm a big energy worker, a light worker. You know, I'm out of the closet around that. You can tell by the way I start the call. And there's just something much bigger going on here. I do believe that we are really starting to shift. We all need money. We all want one money. We should all be abundant. But I think that our pathway to money has been an old paradigm energetic. And I think that there's a way that's really coming online for us. And it is aligned with what your message, Madison. It is around this value and disconnecting the value from the money. And what's really funny is once you disconnect the value from the money comes.
That's the funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the paradox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hysterical paradox. Anyway, we got questions, girlfriend. And it's 4:41. And some folks here are like, you know, they're letting us know what they think. And these are people that, you know, they're experiencing amazing things. And so thank you so much, everyone, for being willing, open, and honest to bring the stuff to the call. So wonderful. So this is from Janice in Utah. I was just laid off from my job, and I'm taking that as a clue for a new adventure, not knowing what. My intention is to find the most fulfilling, enlightening, loving, joyous, creative, mystical, magical, freeing job I can do. Could you please comment on this? That was actually one of our more positive and bright and light comments. So anything you can...
Well, first I want to say right on. It's a great thing to go for. And, you know, I think life works best when you're doing what you really want to do. And if you look at all kinds of people who are really doing what they want and being successful about it, at some point they did what Adela was talking about, and they just took a leap of faith. You know that what's that quote? Leap and the net will appear.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally true. But you really have to take the leap. You can't kind of be shimmying down the side of the mountain. You just have to go for it. And another one of my favorite quotes, I don't know who this is attributed to, but it is, everything works out in the end. If it hasn't worked out, it's not the end.
Oh, that's great.
So I say just go for it. And follow your intuition, follow your heart, follow your brilliance, and
That's the thing. It's this paradox. It's this paradox that we want a plan that says, okay, if I do step 1 through 7, mm-hmm. I'm going to get what you've got. And, you know, there are people in these systems that they can model these systems, and they work for them, and they've got the money and all of that, and it's wonderful. And I know many people doing this stuff, and they're doing great work. A lot of these people are doing great work. But the thing is, this thing with your brilliance, I don't think it goes with, you know, the three-step plan, you know?
Well, it can't, because if your brilliance really exists, and I believe it does, then by definition it's something that no one else on the planet can do or can do like you. So by definition, you have to make a plan, a new plan, innovate something around it.
Yeah, and that's another one of those paradoxes. Like, we want some kind of safety net or security or some insurance, some guarantee that if I do step, and people are making millions on these programs, by the way. That's how they become millionaire coaches, by the way. we want that safety net of, like, a plan. And not to say that guidance isn't good, because you're here. You're here on these telesummits because you're looking for some direction. You're looking for some answers. Yeah. Of course it's good. Of course it's great to have a coach, to have a mentor. But the paradox is that you come alive in what's new and what's never been tested before. That really in risking what you know, you actually become what's possible. And you can't do that unless, you dive off the cliff until you become the adventurer of your own brilliance. And you see and explore and play with the ways to bring it into being. And the way that you bring it into being is by stepping out there and exploring and trying things. And, okay, this didn't work. I don't want to tell you how many courses I did that didn't make much money.
Oh, girl. Me too.
Yeah.
Tons of stuff that didn't make much money or didn't work out. But, man, the stuff that I learned.
Yeah. And so you don't get caught up in the value in terms of, like, a distorted sense of value, like, you know, I totally suck at this or I can't do this. It's just, this didn't work. Check. Next.
Yeah. Try something else.
Yeah, you try something else. So, great. Thank you so much for the response to Janice. It rippled that whole little conversation. Okay, this is from Josanne in Finland. So, as a mother, I don't contribute anything as I don't get money for raising children if money is the consequence of the value I contribute. Of course you do. Can you respond to that?
Of course, you have to look at what are the kids contributing? What's their value to the world?
Yeah.
And it may not have anything to do with money, but there's definitely value. Here's the thing. Money is one way of exchanging value. There are literally hundreds of ways of exchanging value. The currency that we have all agreed upon in terms of value exchange is money. That's an agreement that we have in our world. But it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, and the value as a mother myself, and you're a mom too,
mm-hmm.
We know that the extraordinary value exchange between mother and children and father and children, it's priceless. Talk about not being ever being able to get paid for something.
Well, here's my experience of being a parent, and I think there are probably some people out there who would agree with me. I can't imagine that I am able to contribute nearly as much to him as he does to me.
Yes.
I can't. If I'm contributing half of to him as he does to me, I feel good about that, because that's the real. I mean, I'm blown away by that kid, and I think a lot of parents feel that way.
I'll agree. Yeah. Absolutely. Your kids will blow you away every time. You'll be like, oh, my God, they're so brilliant. Because they are brilliant. And that's one of the places that, you know, I would go back to when you were little and just check out your brilliance from your childhood, because we're brilliant as kids. You know, it's just, you know, the stuff happens later on. You know, people tell you, hey, who do you think you are?
Right. You can't do that.
Yeah,
That doesn't make any money.
Yeah.
You want to be an artist? That's not, you can't make any money being an artist. You got to get a real job.
Yeah.
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 So really, in that conversation about parenting, you know, I mean, I want to say something that's a little bit more concrete about. So my boy's almost 9, and I have to tell you, I'm certain that I'm 1,000 times better coach for having raised him.
Hmm.
I'm sure I'm a better coach having been a parent. And so then you can really look at, okay, what is the value? There's some value coming back. How much better of a coach am I because I've been a parent? I don't know, but even if it's 25%,
yeah,
better, there's a value.
Great. We've got another question here. I want to zip through because we've got a few questions here, and I do want to leave a few minutes so that we can talk about the program, the training that we're doing together that I'm very excited about. You and I are partnering on something finally, so I'm excited.
Finally, yeah.
So this is from Brian in Sellersville. If I had to rely on what others express as my value in the world, I would have jumped off a bridge long ago. By your external reckoning, refugees and disaster survivors are in negative value numbers. Thankfully, many of them find the courage to continue on. What is their value? Admittedly, they produce nothing that others would pay for.
So I think I would probably not agree with that people. So, okay, well, let me say this. Again, nothing that others would pay for doesn't mean they're not creating value. So again, this money, this conversation about money and values collapse. People are valuable to people, right? That's why we're so upset when they leave, the planet. Everyone's valuable to somebody else. And oftentimes we don't ever know our value until they leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of get what you're saying about looking outside yourself, and I think it's still collapsed there, the value and the money conversation.
Okay, good. So a re-listen to the beginning of this call would probably be a good idea. Thank you so much, Madison, and thank you, Brian. So this is from Jean in Washington State. So, a volunteer event I instigated and which brought in $20,000 in 4 hours, even though I didn't do it all by myself, does that mean my value can be considered $20,000 or $40,000 a day?
Yes. It doesn't mean that you can get paid that much, but it means that you can come from this place of, this is what I'm able to contribute to my community by showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you can extrapolate. I think you can take the 20,000 and just know that when you're involved in something, that's the possibility. There's this possibility that this is what you can contribute to your community.
Mm-hmm.
Can you ever get paid that much? Probably not. Maybe if you're a superstar speaker or something, right? You can get paid $25,000 for a keynote or something like that, but you know, the rest of us, the regular people, it's probably not possible to get paid that. And when you know your value, this is the point I wanted to get to, Adela. I kind of said something about it, but I'm not sure if I was clear. When you know your value in the world, it calms you down. So then you can go out and get paid what you're happy to show up for. Okay, because if you're going out to do work and you're not happy to show up to do it, you're not serving anyone. And the amount that you're happy to show up for is not going to be how much value you can create. It's going to be the amount you're happy to show up for. It's two very different things. Value, money, and what you're showing up for.
Yeah, and that speaks to a question. There was a question here from Susie in New York. She's an artist, and she was wondering how to apply the principles to her field in terms of pricing and selling her work. So that also answers Susie's question, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. And artists, it's real tricky because it's so personal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And artists are in the same stuckness, usually. It's what causes starving artists, the starving artist mentality, is I can't ask a person to pay what that painting is worth to me as the artist, so I'm not going to sell it. So, again, you have to know the difference. What's it worth to you? Fantastic, whatever it is. And what are you happy to let it go for? Or what's the minimum amount you're happy to let it go for? Or what's the market willing to pay for it? I just had this conversation with a client of mine who's an artist, and the question is, in your business, who's the most important person? And the most important person is really the client, because they're going to talk to you about what they think about your work. I'm talking about artists now. What they think about your work by how they spend their money.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that helps Susie, but that's what I have to say about it.
Yeah. Wonderful. So this is, oh, great. We're getting really nice. The value of being from Olga, the value of being a conscious parent is priceless and will be felt into the future. Yes. Wonderful world citizens have been my pleasure to guide. Yeah, absolutely. The joy and pleasure of having children is extraordinary, and it's one of those things that adds unto you. And thank you so much for checking in. So I wanted to take a couple of minutes to talk a little bit about the training that Madison and I are doing. And it's for folks who are ready. They've got a business. They've got some clients. They may be working for free or low fees with your clients. You may be having trouble creating offers that generate sales. There's a disconnection between the value you offer and the prices you charge. Or if you're just struggling with your business because there's not enough cash flow, there's really wonderful. I did a course, a training with Madison called Reality Selling. And so we're going to incorporate some of my marketing experience in terms of conscious business and Madison's extraordinary reality selling course, which is about really making a shift from selling to creating offers. And we're very excited about this. It's going to be very hands-on. It's going to be experiential. We're going to cover things like, you know, marketing for a sale versus marketing for an appointment, some of the myths around selling, creating and crafting a compelling offer, and it's not what you think it is. There are going to be some great distinctions for both coaches, so there's going to be some great distinctions. There's going to be opportunities for some laser coaching. So if you're ready to really start being abundant in your business in terms of how you present the work that you do to the world in a way that's aligned, full of integrity, conscious, and feels comfortable. It feels like you. Because it's not about, you know, wimpy sales or anything like that, or even pushy sales. It's about really creating compelling offers and really seeing what is the value that your client or your prospect is ready for you to deliver. So we've got a really extraordinary special. The training is normally $497, but during this Conscious Business Telesummit, we're doing a deep discount. And it's 8 hours of training. We're meeting for 4 weeks, 2 hours every week, and the training is actually only $297. So if you're interested in that, and there's a couple of bonuses, some sweet bonuses, if you're interested in that, you can go over to consciousbusinesstelesummit.com/conscious offers, and it'll be in the email that follows these calls, and it's also on the webcast. If you've got any questions to see if this is right for you, you can email me adela@adelarubio.com, and I'm happy to have a conversation with you to see if this is the right thing for you. This will really position you for being really comfortable. I used to hate selling. And I went through such a shift in Madison's training that that I got it now, because I don't sell, I offer. And it's made all the difference, Madison. Your training made such a difference. And I'll get to add my conscious marketing expertise, and we're going to have a blast in that four-week training. So you'll know if it's for you, if it feels sparkly, if the combination of Madison and Adela feels like an adventure you'd like to explore, then go check out the offer page and see if it's for you. If you have any questions, you can email me, and we'll have a conversation about it. So that's all, folks. Madison, any final words or any final thoughts for our conscious business crew?
Well, I want to say thanks for having me, because I'm one of those people she was calling about. I don't have a giant list, and you know, I'm not a big product person, so I appreciate, Adela, you having me on the call anyway.
You're a gem. You're a gift to be shared, my love. You are an extraordinary coach and an extraordinary brilliance bringer outer, you know? I know you call it high performance, but you really see someone's brilliance. Madison is an example of someone who sees your brilliance into being. So I am honored to be your friend, your colleague, and to have you on the Conscious Business Telesummit and share you with folks who I know can benefit from your expertise. So thank you, Madison.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're going to open up the line so everyone can say goodbye. It has been another extraordinary time together, folks. This really is the best time of the day for me. Thank you very much, everyone, for being here. And we'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.